So Matthew chapter 28, and we're going to read the last three verses, verses 18, 19, and 20. It says, "And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen." So let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for your word once again. Thank you for the freedom we have to gather around it this morning. And we just pray you'd help us to understand what you're calling us to do. Just help us to understand your enabling so that we can accomplish what you have for us to accomplish. We ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen. And so we've continuing through this series, we started beginning of this year, "As the Father has sent me, even so send I you," is what Jesus said after his resurrection to his disciples. And we realize that that verse applies not just to the 11 that were assembled in that upper room, but as well to us today. And so we've looked at a lot of different ways of how we are sent by God, sent by our Savior rather, just as he was sent by his Father to work and to minister in this world. And we considered last week the thought from this passage, the idea that all power, all authority is given unto the Lord in heaven and earth. And so he sends us with his authority to do his Father's will. But today we want to consider another thought. And we understand that he is sending us and we are to go, but we have a purpose that we are to accomplish. And we see that where he says, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations." And so we certainly see with this, because when he said, "As the Father has sent me, even so send I you," the whole idea of that, it was that in the same manner in which he was sent, we would be sent. And we think of Jesus' life, that so much of his life and ministry was spent teaching people. And we think of just, yes, there was preaching and other things and proclaiming, but we see that so much of what he had to do was sharing different truths, and he'd use different means, parables and other ways of trying to bring things down to people's understanding. And so we see Matthew chapter 4 and verse 23, it says, "And Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing all manner of sickness and all manner of disease among the people." And so he spent his time, went all about Galilee, and first and foremost, what did he do? He was teaching people. We see Matthew chapter 26 and verse 55 that he makes this statement to the mob that's coming to get him in the middle of the night. That he says, "Are ye come to me as against a thief with swords and staves for to take me?" And he says, "I sat daily with you teaching in the temple, and you laid no hand hold on me." And so we have this thought that every day he was teaching, and that it was just a part of his life that he spent time in teaching. And then we see as well in Acts chapter 1 and verse 1, where Luke makes this statement as he begins. He says, "The former treatise have I made, O Theophilus," speaking, of course, of the Gospel of Luke. He says, "of all that Jesus began both to do and teach." And really, we think of that, the significance of that. First of all, that Jesus, when he was on this earth, there's things that he did, great and mighty acts, but there's also great and mighty things that he taught. But we understand as well that it's the idea of this is what he began to teach, and he actually promised in John that when he was departed that the Holy Spirit would come and the Holy Spirit would teach them all things. right? And so we understand that was his ministry, was so much wrapped up with teaching. And so it makes sense that if he says, as a father sent me, even so send I you, that then we should be teaching as well. And so we understand to teach, it means to instruct, it means to inform, it means to communicate to another the knowledge of that which that person was before ignorant. And so we ask ourselves, we say, why is it necessary for us to teach? And we realize that when it comes to spiritual things, when it comes to spiritual truth, most people don't know the truth. We read prophetically, it speaks that one day the earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the Lord, but we would say that is not the case today. Jeremiah chapter 31 and verse 34, it says that under the new covenant, when Christ comes to establish his kingdom, that it says, they shall not teach every man his neighbor and every man his brother to know the Lord, because they shall all know me from the least to the greatest. But we think of it right now with that thing that up until that time when he establishes that, that's what's necessary, that we teach every man our neighbor, every man our brother, of the truth of the Bible, of the truth of God and of Christ and of salvation and of judgment to come, that they need to know. We realize so many people today have not been exposed to the Bible and its truths hardly at all. I think for some of us, if we've grown up in church, there's a lot of things that we just take for granted, a foundation of knowledge that we have that many people do not possess. And some of the things that we would say are basic truths are strange and foreign. And we realize as well that for many people today, is in this present evil world in which the God of this world seeks to blind the eyes of those that believe not, that there is a great deal of lies and counterfeits and misinformation that's presented. And so we really understand that for many people, when they think of God and of church and of the gospel and of Christianity as a whole, they know very little, and what they do know may actually be incorrect information. They've maybe seen what we would identify as counterfeit Christianity and not the real thing, and it turns them away from the truth, where they've never actually been exposed to the truth. And so a lot of people sadly live in a position in this day and age of spiritual ignorance. We see this spoken of in Ephesians chapter 4. That it speaks of how Gentiles that didn't know God, that they walked in the vanity of their mind, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God. And it's through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart. That's the thing, is that we have an expression that we hear sometimes, that ignorance is bliss. But when it comes to spiritual truth, ignorance is not bliss. That ignorance can be fatal. That we think of this idea where it says they're being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them. That they could have life and fulfillment and satisfaction, but because of that ignorance of God, they miss out on all of that. And it could lead not away from life unto spiritual death. And so if people are in a position of ignorance, that's not going to change until someone steps in to show them the way. We see Paul speak of this in Colossians chapter 1. He's speaking of the mystery of Christ in you, the hope of glory. In verse 27, he says, verse 28, whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. That it was the mindset that he had, that it was, he wasn't going to assume that people knew, that he was going to make sure everyone had the full explanation, the full understanding of the truth. We see elsewhere in Acts where Paul said that he hadn't failed to teach unto the Ephesians the whole counsel of God. He wanted to give them the whole picture. Didn't want them missing out on anything. And he just had that dedication and devotion that every person, I need to teach them, make sure they know the truth. And we understand that God does not want any person to remain in ignorance. It talks about in 1 Timothy 2, verses 3 and 4, he wants all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. And so we really want to help people to see that it's something that you think about it in this way, that in our world today, there's so many different things that we buy that have warning labels that will say harmful or fatal if swallowed. And by law, they're required to have those on there just for the sake of people's safety. Because if they don't know, especially if it's a child, they could poison themselves. And the thing is many ways you can think about it that God has put warning labels on a whole bunch of different things. And the devil's gone and ripped them all off. That God says, this is dangerous, this is deadly, don't engage in this. And Satan tries to make people think, oh, this is safe, this isn't going to hurt you. And so that's really for people's own safety, for their own, to save their own lives, they need to know the truth. They need to know what harm there is out there. They need to know that sin is addictive and destructive. And they need to know that they can be forgiven and cleansed from their sin and be delivered from the wrath that is to come. And so we want to understand that, the necessity of teaching. That's what he's sending us out, because people don't know. And we can't assume that someone else is going to tell them, that if God is sending us to let people know the truth. And as we seek to fulfill this, where he says go and teach, we understand that our motivation and our mindset with it should very much be that of compassion. We see in Mark chapter 6, verses 34. It says this, "And Jesus, when he came out, saw much people and was moved with compassion toward them, because they were as sheep not having a shepherd. And he began to teach them many things." And so you just think of that, of just Jesus' heart, that he sees these people and they don't know. It's basically they have no guidance in their life. They're lost. They're just trying to find their way. And he had compassion for them. And he went out and he started to teach them many things. And that's the same way we have, that it isn't something where we look down on people and say, well, why don't they know that? It's because no one's ever taken the time to explain it to them. And so we would say, okay, well, maybe I need to take that time. I need to be willing to invest in this person, help them to see what they just don't know. And we're motivated by that compassion for them. But I realize, too, is that with so many people, there's so much that they don't know, it's hard to know where to start. But it's something that we realize is that we have to start somewhere. Ideally, it's best to start early, because there's so much to be taken in, and it's best to teach a person a little bit at a time. We see that principle given in Isaiah chapter 28, verses 9 and 10. And it says, "Whom shall he teach knowledge, and whom shall he make to understand doctrine? Them that are weaned from the milk and drawn from the breasts. For precept must be upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon line, here a little and there a little." Excuse me. And so it's ideally, it's the thing is that from when people are very young, that it's good to teach them. They're not going to take it all at once, But a bit at a time helps a person to come to know the truth. That we see that principle given amongst God's people, that what they were to do, that it talks about in Psalm 78 that they had a this thought of that they were to teach what they had taught was to be taught to those below them. It says in Psalm 78, verse 4, it says, "We will not hide them from their children, showing to the generation to come the praise of the Lord, and his strength and his wonderful works that he hath done, for he established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers that they should make them known to their children, that the generation to come might know them, even the children which should be born, who should arise and declare them to their children, that they might set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments." And so we want to teach people the truth, that we see in Deuteronomy how it talks about, as they were giving commandments to the people, he said, "These words which I have given thee shall be in thine heart," and it says that you shall teach them diligently unto your children. And it lays it out as thou shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. That through the day, every opportunity we have, that we spend that in teaching. And so we think that in terms of sometimes as parents with our own children, but we realize that there's so many other people that maybe never got that as kids, that we realize that there's things that we can do, that we can share God's truth with people every opportunity that we have. But it's something to consider as well, because when we think of teaching nowadays, there's a multitude of different teaching methods. And always there's different methods that are used, different methods are sought after, because it's always, you want to make sure that what you're teaching gets passed along, that the person that you're teaching it to retains it. That it's a thing as a teacher, if you spent, say, a whole school year teaching your students, and it comes to final exams and they all fail the final exam, then you look at it as a teacher, what have I done that I was not able to get that through to them, they were not able to retain it. And so we want to think of that. How, if God wants us to teach people, how do we teach them? How do we engage them? How do we motivate them? How do we reach those that we're trying to teach? And so to answer this question, we think back again to that phrase where he says, "As a father has sent me, even so send I you." That he was a teacher, so we need to be teaching as well as his disciples. And in terms of the method we use, we realize we use the same method he did. And so as we think of that, it's important that we identify that, how Jesus taught. And because I think we can be guilty of trying to teach, doing the right thing, but doing it the wrong way. And then we don't have the results that we desire. Because I think sometimes when we think of teaching, we almost have the idea of like a classroom setting. We almost have the idea of us giving a lecture, of just putting out the information and expecting those around us to be paying attention and taking notes. And it's really something that we realize that that's not generally going to be the situation we're going to be in. And as well, we realize that the teaching that we're giving must be more than simply imparting facts and knowledge. We think in Jesus' day that the scribes and the Pharisees, they were teachers of the people. But we find that their teaching never had the impact that Jesus' teaching did. That people saw that there's something different about this teacher. That he teaches with authority, not as the scribes. And so we realize that there's, his way was different than the way all the other ones did. And so we want to understand that, how it was different and why. And we realize as well, when it comes to teaching the things of God, things of the Bible, it is much more than just imparting a philosophy or a symptom of beliefs, just something that a person can have this idea of how they view the world, and they can just sit at home and contemplate it. We really want to understand that in terms of the teaching method that Jesus used, it involved discipleship, involved apprenticeship and mentorship. That he spent time with individuals and he walked with them and worked with them and helped develop them into followers of himself. And so it's significant when we think of how Jesus taught. And then as we read in Matthew chapter 28 and verse 19, where it says, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations," that the Greek word from which teach is translated here, literally it actually means to make disciples. It's to make people that will follow, to mentor someone, to apprentice someone, so that they will be able to do what the master did with the same ability, same competency, and same quality. And so it's that thought, is that's how Jesus wants us to teach, because that's how he teaches us. It isn't just this idea of a classroom setting, much more. It's that idea of a one-on-one where we spend time teaching people, that we invest our lives in someone else. That they see us and that we give them an example to follow. That really, you think about it with the scribes and the Pharisees, so much, even though much of what they said may have had a lot of value and merit because they were teaching from the scriptures, it didn't have any real power or kind of retention with many of the people. And we see what Jesus says in Matthew 23, verses 1 to 3. Speaking to the multitude of his disciples, saying, "The scribes and the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat. All therefore whatsoever they bid you observe, that observe and do, but do ye not after their works, for they say and do not." That they knew what was right, but they never actually put it into practice. And that's what people need, is that they catch things so much more by what we do as by what we say. And that was the thing with Jesus, that he was the example. We think of what it says in 1 Peter, that it says of him that he left us an example that we should follow in his steps. And so often when we struggle with something in life, we ask that question, well, what would Jesus do? Or what did Jesus do in this situation? How did he handle this? And we can identify, yes, this is what the master did. And so as his disciple, that's what I do. And so that's how we're to teach others, that where we recognize that I need to set the example. If I'm teaching them something, I need to be able to be doing the same thing. It's a thought that we want to go to people who have no knowledge of God and teach them the truth of God and that they should follow God. And if we're not following God, how are we going to be able to convince them to do the same? And that's what we see Paul say in 1 Corinthians 11 verse 1. He says, "Be followers of me as I also am of Christ." And so it's that dedication that we have. I am going to follow Christ faithfully and fully. I'm going to seek his strength. I'm going to pursue after him. And as I do that, then people will see this is the way to walk. And so it is making sure that our actions agree with our words, that we live up to the standards that we proclaim, and that we take that time to invest in people's lives, to show them the truth, not just in our words, but also in our actions. And we see as well in that passage there that it speaks of teaching not only in verse 19 but also in verse 20, where it says, teach them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And the teach here, the Greek word is different than the one in verse 19. Teaching here has the idea of imparting instruction. But we see the phrasing of it is significant. It's teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And observe has the idea of to keep or to adhere to in practice, to comply with and to obey. That we understand that the truths of God's word do not lie in the realm of the philosophical or the theoretical or the theological. They lie very much in the realm of the practical. They are words of life. They impart life as they're followed. And so it's the idea is that we don't just teach people what to do or what God's word says. We teach them how that they can do it. And we have to teach right from wrong, how what they should avoid, what they should embrace, what they should be engaged in. But it's the thing is that we just don't teach them facts. We don't just teach them the way to live or standards to follow. We need to teach them how to live that way. And I think so often that's what, especially for young people, is we can miss that, is that laying out to them that it isn't where we just tried harder to do better in our own strength, that we instead teach, okay, you have to live by faith, not by sight. You have to walk in the spirit and not in the flesh. And I think that's often what we fail to do, is we teach what they should do, but many times we fail to teach them how they should do it. Sometimes even the why they need to do it. And sometimes maybe they don't need to know the why. Sometimes they just need to trust the Lord. But sometimes it helps to explain some of those things. Because if we don't, what happens is many times they'll try and fail in their own strength and they'll get discouraged. Think, well, I'm trying to do this. I know this is what I should do. I've failed. And all I'm going to have is condemnation as a result of that. Where instead it's helping them see, okay, well, this is why you failed. I think of that with Jesus, that there is a time where he came down from the Mount of Transfiguration, where his disciples have been trying to cast the devil out of this boy, and they hadn't been able to. And he was, Jesus kind of questioned why they were not able to. But then they came to him after and says, why couldn't we do it? And then he explained what the problem was, and he says that this kind cometh not out but by prayer and fasting, that they needed to become more spiritually engaged to be able to have victory over this this demonic force that was around them. And so it's the thing is that we want to understand that, is that we want to spend the time that people that we teach, they're not going to get it all right away. Sometimes they're going to get it wrong, sometimes they're going to mess up. But as we've invested time in them, we're not going to give up on them. It's kind of the thing, I know with apprenticeship, it's always kind of a contract that you sign, that it's for 4 years as you see this person through to the end. And it's kind of, the idea is when we look at people and we see that they don't know the truth, that they're ignorant of a lot of very important things in their life, that we say, I am going to invest my time in their life. I am going to help them to understand what God wants from them, how they're supposed to live, and how what life can be like. That it's going to take time, but it is an investment that is worth it. That to see the fruit of that in time to come, where people that we've maybe done here a little, there a little, through their life, but as they reach into adulthood, that we see them making wise decisions, see them choosing to follow the Lord themselves without having to be prodded into doing it, that it can be very rewarding. And so no time that we spend teaching is ever going to be wasted. But it comes, I think, as we learn to teach as Jesus did, by setting the example, by investing our time, and helping people to see not just what to do, but how to do it, how to live the Christian life. And so many around us we recognize are as sheep having no shepherd. They're wandering. They don't know which way to turn or what to do. And the devil wants to prey upon their ignorance to lead them into so many things that are destructive. And so we can't just try to step away and say it's not our problem. We need to say, okay, I know the truth. I'm obligated to share it. This could help this person. This could even save their life, save their soul. And so may the Lord help us in this, that we, as He commands, go and teach so people can come to the knowledge of the truth. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank You for Your Word, for the challenges that it gives us. We thank You, Lord, for being such a great teacher that we can learn from. We thank You for Your patience with us. We thank You for the investment You have made in our lives, both Yourself personally and through the lives of many others of Your servants that You've sent to our lives to help us. And Lord, we just pray You would help us to fulfill this call You have on us, Lord, that we would seek to teach others, Lord, in patience and compassion, just helping them to see the truth that can set them free. We just ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So let's all stand. We'll turn to one last hymn before we conclude. Number 201, He is able to deliver thee. Number 201.